episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Welcome to Be Told, I think 15. Is it 15? Not that I'm counting. Haven't done one since last year. It's been a whole year since Be Told, the UFOs, Christmas UFOs episode, which apparently was one of the most popular shows on the truthmeets.com ever. So thank you very much for those people that listened to the show. Always enjoy doing them. I've been doing the Rick and Rollo show, but I can't do Rick and Rollo tonight because Rollo is off. He's not feeling 100%.
That means he's sober.
But it's wonderful to have an opportunity to have a chat with all the stuff going on at the moment. I mean, my goodness gracious me. We've got looking at the fires going on in Los Angeles. Now, just on the subject of bushfires, so a subject I know quite well because I am in one of the most biggest bushfire centres in Australia, the mid-north coast. When we have fires here, they go for 4 months, 5 months. Really big ones. And they burned so hard last time, they went underground and kept popping up. This is what happens with the proper really big bushfire. It goes into the peat. Now, I just say the date. The date today is January. I'm looking at my Lunig calendar, and I have to say rest in peace to Michael Lunig, L-E-U-N-I-G, a man who has been keeping people cheered up for so many years, 40, 50 years, and he died just before Christmas. Such a sad state. And I've got a really interesting story about a Michael Lunig exhibition and something that happened, which I hope to bring up. Lunar calendar on the wall. And magic lunar calendar on the wall. What is the date today? It is Saturday the 11th. The 11th of January. 11-1-25-2025. So we've got these fires going on in America, and I know about bushfires. Now, the ones around here, lightning or arson, or they get set off by the well-meaning burn-offs that they have, and they just go haywire, because guess what? They've been having stuff sprayed on top of them for years upon years, especially California, sparkler mix. The thing that was removed from coal-fired power stations and resprayed over the top of you, giving you your lovely orange sunsets, is barium, strontium, and aluminium. And you make that as the ingredient for sparkler. And so the trees soak it up, and the trees become way more flammable. I'm telling you now, this is a fact over here. All the seasoned firefighters were saying they've never seen fires escape that fast before because they've got so much flammable stuff in their leaves and everything. And we've got poor land management. This is the first one. Started about 20 years ago. The greenies came and said, no, you can't. If a tree falls down in the forest, a national park area, you cannot remove the dead tree because there might be creatures living in it. And yes, of course there's creatures living in it. But those creatures, let me tell you, when the bushfire goes, get exterminated. So you're better off managing it and dragging out and clearing all these areas. But we used to burn off regularly, used to be allowed to burn off regularly. Now it's banned. So when we do get fires, these are just biblical level. And the ones in Los Angeles, which are, you've got the Santa Ana winds coming, blowing them as well. Now, I remember in the 70s watching, I thought it was In Search Of, but it may not have been, but it was a show about the devil winds, Santa Ana winds, which come up. And if you have the perfect combination of bushfire and winds, they will blow all over the place. And your houses, I don't have to tell you this, folks, the houses that they've built, these McMansions mansions around the place, are full of this cladding, which is also aluminium, this cheap, shitty cladding that they put to make the outside of buildings that aren't double brick or made out of hardwoods. They use cladding. A lot of it is flammable. So a bushfire can sweep into an area and then start setting fire to houses, and then those houses go up, plus the arsonists, plus the insurance scams that are going on at the same time. But this is guaranteed part of the whole Burn Back Better, BBB 666, Build Back, Burn Back, whatever, the rise of the Phoenix. And this is deliberately done. This is feeds in with two lots of things. The QAnon people will say, it's the evil Hollywood pedophiles getting burnt out. Donald Trump's behind it, blah, 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 blah. The conspiracy theorists are saying it's the Jews. It's the Jews. That's with a D, not a J. So you got them all happy. Not happy, but they're saying it's the directed energy weapons. They're sending photos of trees still standing and a whole lot of houses all in rubble, just like what happened in Paradise in California a few years ago, and by coincidence, Eden in the south coast opposite the winner is Sydney, south coast of Sydney, past Sydney, south coast, Eden. Eden and Paradise both got terminated by fires. And they admitted the ones over here were caused by electrical fires, but they didn't actually specify that it was probably the smart meters are going up, because that's what a lot of people were saying, it was the smart meters triggering it. So you've got so many different theories with these fires, and I'd say it's a combination of about four of them. What kind of bird is that? You can hear that tweeting. Very interesting native bird out there. So if you're watching the recordage, which I did the other night on Fox or MBS, MSM something or other, it's just overhyped. They've got masks, you know, big respirators on, all the journalists are there. All the words are in bright red. It's hype, 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 hype. But this is feeding into the global warming conspiracy. So they're going to use, everyone wins with this one. The global warming people win. The QAnon say it's Trump burning back better to get rid of all the evil people in Hollywood, the pedophiles, you know, they're all in their mansions. You know, there was pictures of all the people that lost their houses, and probably half of them will feed into this stuff. I mean, into this, what do you call it, QAnon, Pizzagate, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's stuff that was real. Now, that Pizzagate, be told, that was a real thing that happened, but it just got stage managed. They got hold of it and they blew it out of proportion to make everyone look completely mad. People like, and someone sent it to me the other day, I think it was Soph sent me the PDF of that Australian woman's book, the Fiona Bartlett, her book. And it's, you know, I'm jumping subjects here, but they will all tie in, I assure you of that. And I hope the adverts are going to turn up, and I am being recorded. Let's just have a look here. I'm going green. And eventually this should be the wonderful sounds of Velocet singing with his wife playing the piano. No matter what you sing. Hopefully that comes in. But, yeah, so Fiona Bartlett book got sent to me. I had a look at it. Oh, my God. She's in the special, you know, she was special trained commando, you know, at one of those, just like all those movies that you saw many years ago. There was lots of those movies with, female orphan taken away and trained up, you know, to be a special soldier, da da da. She was one. They're on a plane and all these giant ant creatures come in and kill all these special forces in front of her. This isn't her book. This is this woman that's accusing every single person in Australia being a part of a pedophile network. And it was flown at 5 years of age to on a plane to Nixon when she was five or four. And the interviewer said, how can you remember this at you're 4 years of age? She could. She could, apparently. Having a beer now, since I last spoke to you on the Be Told shows, I've stopped eating at night time. Although last night I came home at midnight and I did have something to eat after midnight, which was very naughty of me. But straight as soon as I stopped night eating, my arm scratching went away and I probably lost 3 or 4 kilos without doing anything. I just stopped eating bread at night time and just eating in general at night time. Stupid thing to do. Stupid thing to do. Yeah, so bushfires and real fires. So basically we have right now an overhyped situation. It's feeding into every single conspiracy group, the people that believe in climate change, they're happy, the insurance agencies that are going to be having to pay out all these. So a lot of these actors have probably got we're going to leave the country anyway because people are deserting America, I do believe. The rich are getting out of it. So this means that their mansions are going to get all the money that they want for them, you know. Average $11 million, like Paris Hilton's mansion, $11 million. This ugly-looking clad thing from God knows when with glass, cladding in glass, somehow worth $11 million in Los Angeles, burned to the ground. Sir Anthony Hopkins' house down. A friend of mine, actually, who's a musician, very clever guy, he posted something on Facebook that is he's got a really gorgeous girlfriend from America, and her uncle's mansion, or not mansion, but it's a beautiful, amazing house. It missed the fires because it was on the news and they had a picture of it, and he said he stayed there last year. So that verifies that, you know, these things to me are happening. I always trust old friends and they say, I used to stay there, and there it is in the news. And he took a photo of where he stayed and this news clip of the street getting in Beverly Hills or wherever it was completely annihilated. But it was this one house was standing up and his one, the one he stayed in. So it was good. Now they've switched the water off. This is obviously deliberate. The hydrants aren't going. So this is a deliberate thing. He says, getting another drink out of the fridge. So this is the same thing as Maui. We had the exact same thing going over there, which was, again, was just a targeted burn using, you know, poor land management. And then the conspiracy theorists jumped up and down, said it was directed energy weapons. You don't need directed energy weapons. You only need a small incendiary device, or what they're using over here is fire drones to backburn. So fire drones is a real thing. I'll put that on the title to shock, to get for clickbait. Now, I haven't heard any voices come in here. Is this being recorded? Is Villa said actually contacted me and he's going to do something after this. No matter what you say, I'm going to keep talking for a little bit longer. I'd say it's working. So the fire drones. And all they are is a drone with a basically like a small canister of like a gel, you know, and that it ignites remotely and it sprays flammable stuff all over the place where you normally couldn't get to without putting a chopper load of firefighters into the backburn. Now you can do it with fire drones, and fire drones are real. Now this ties in with the drones at Christmas time, and I'm sure someone's going to tie this in. Well, I'm doing it now. Fire drones. But you don't even need fire drones. You can just have teams of arsonists just going and, you know, where it's flammable or setting fire to one area and getting out of there and or putting a time device in there. It's so simple. There's nothing technical about needed to create what's happening, especially if you knew the Santa Ana winds were coming. And they were coming. And that these things are timed. They know the Santa Ana winds come at a certain time every now and then. Those long-range weather forecasters know these things. The elites know these things. So, therefore, it was timed perfectly. I mean, my goodness gracious, from the midnight stroke on New Year's Eve, we've just got two big psyops with the truck one and the one with the both trained at that same military fort too, by coincidence. That strange military guy that drove his van or truck or whatever into supposedly killed 14 people with one strike. That's a pretty good strike. He must be good at bowls, that's for sure. I'm just going to mute a bit and wait for this advert to come on. I don't want to be wasting my time here talking off the top of my head. I'll mute, wait for the advert.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
The wonderful Velocet and singing, and his lovely wife playing the timpani or whatever. This is Rick on Be Told episode, I think 15. I'll just call it 15. Call it episode 15 on January the 11th, 2025. I haven't got the dates wrong yet. I stumble a bit at the beginning, but I get the year right every time. So, yeah, no, fire drones, they're a fact. It's a thing. But could there be fire drones being used? Or are they just people on the ground setting fire to these things and the Santa Ana winds helping it go? Because we had a bushfire at the Blue Mountains some years ago, and all witnesses to it said the sound was like this howling, screaming sound because the winds came behind and it blew the bushfire and it created a fireball and it just went into, anyone that hasn't been in a bushfire zone, and if you go on the Fart podcast, F-A-R-T podcast, I think it's called Fiery, I just got back driving through mega bushfire zones, driving in a hire car, up roads that were burning on both sides of the road. A very silly man. But I did it, and I got home safe. If there'd been a big wind came over the top, who would have known? So bushfires are incredibly real. Floods are incredibly real. I know these things to be a fact. But when you build loads and loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of houses in those areas, and they burn, you cannot blame nature. You just blame idiots that built into the bush, because that's what happens. And we, in Australia, I've got old newspapers from going back to 1840, 1850, a Weekly Times, a collection of Weekly Times papers, the Country Times, whatever, and it's nothing but floods and bushfires. And I'm talking about mega deaths from an area that didn't have that many people in, living in it, in a country that didn't have that many people living in. So these things are real, 100%. And I've witnessed them, I've seen them. It's an incredible phenomenon. But if you get a wind behind it, it turns into a fireball. It's like having a giant bellows blowing away and making the fires worse. And if you've got houses that are built using cladding, which is extremely flammable, which a lot of it's aluminium and it's got foam behind it. I kid you not. I've seen buildings getting torn apart by cockatoos in Australia that have worked out. Cockatoos are like a gang. I think they call them a gang of cockatoos. Now, this is a big white parrot, you know, the yellow sulfur-crested cockatoo. And they were tearing a side of a building to pieces with their beaks because they found out they could do it. And I thought, if that building's that easy to tear apart, if you set fire to it, and it was literally foam backed onto cladding that they're allowed to get away with building houses over here. And that's why you saw that giant tower in England go up so fast back in the day, 4 or 5 years ago, that whatever that tower was. it just turned into a giant Roman candle. Sorry, well, not Roman candle, but a giant torch, and just the whole thing burnt. It's aluminium crossed with foam and whatever, you know, even the fire retardant chemicals don't work. I'm telling you now, folks. So if you've got dry trees, you've had top dressing of sparkler mix, which is a fact, I'm telling you now, no arguments entered into. That's why those sunsets were so orangey weird for so long. And a guy that I think one of the best chemtrail researchers ever, Matt Landman, had one of his, an old guy who was, he tried to, you know, he said, I'm going to find out where the stuff's coming from. And he actually got the rail tracks that were going from power stations, taking away their burnt, you know, their off the burnt coal residue, which they used to just bury because it's radioactive as well. It has a kind of a heat to it. And if they get, they're now selling it to, I guess, the military, and they're spraying it every now and then, not every day, over the top of areas that they want to burn in the future. And the whole Phoenix is a logo that you see everywhere, particularly in Australia. If you look at the Westpac Bank logo, that is a giant Phoenix. It's also the three nails. It's also the trident as well. So it's a triple power symbol. But the Phoenix is incredibly powerful. I do believe the special forces in Israel have a Phoenix. I think Mossad has a Phoenix on their logo. There's a reason for that. BBB Netanyahu. Build back, burn back better. Burn it down and start again. Constant revolution. Now, I was going to tell you an interesting story, and this is a fact, interesting story. I was at, I think, Brian Brown, that's BB by coincidence, BB, the wooden actor, and he's made of wood. He's always, they say he's wooden actor. Brian Brown acted with Tom Cruise in that movie Cocktail, very well-known Australian actor. He was on Two Hands with Heath Ledger. I met him a couple of times. Lives in Balmain, where I'm from. His wife is the most beautiful actress who was in the movie Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid, one of her first roles. She's not a great actress, but I think she's extraordinarily beautiful, blue-blooded. He financed Michael Lunig to do put the money behind an exhibition of Michael Lunig's cartoons in 3D. So they made puppets of all his amazing cartoons. And they were in an exhibition in Sydney in, I'm going to guess, around 98, 99. And I went there. And I'm a big Michael Lunig fan. Now, this is a guy, I just sidetrack here, that got, you know, in all sorts of trouble. He got sacked from his job at the age, he'd been there for 40 or 50 years or some outrageous amount of time, because he put a cartoon of the, a parody of the Chinese, the guy standing in front of the tanks at Tiananmen Square. But there was a whole lot of tanks and they had vaccine needles in them and he was standing in front of them. And he got in all sorts of trouble for being on mainstream news and daring to be against it. And he suffers from depression. That's where he gets his kind of inth from. He's a sensitive soul. Was sensitive soul. Anyway, I went to this exhibition. I was roaming around looking at it and thinking it's quite cool. It was at a museum called the Museum of Australia. It's a modern museum, and the winner is Sydney. Anyway, I noticed this extraordinarily good-looking woman walking in front of me, looking at the same things. And me, back in the day, I'm a bit of a, you know, what's the word for it? You have needs, you have desires, and I certainly thought this is just something completely out of a different level. So I was kind of following behind her and kind of looking at her, and she was kind of looking at me, looking at her. And next thing you know, we kind of stood and started chatting, and she was Russian. And because I just left a 10-year relationship with a female who was born in Australia, but she was of Russian stock and spoke Russian, I knew a bit of Russian, and I said a couple, you know, and she was, you know, kind of ha 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 ha, you know. And then ended up having a coffee. And this girl was beyond good looking. She was Russian. Russians, there's a lot of very good looking women in Russia. I'll just have to say that. Anyway, she ended up, telling me her sister was a consul, worked at the consulate, and her parents worked in genetic warfare and almost chemical or genetic warfare. They were scientists in Russia, and she said they can't leave the country because they might get abducted by, the Russians were concerned they would get abducted by Mossad or America or whoever because they knew stuff. And I, because I read Nexus magazine and I'm a know-all and a conspiracy theorist, I knew about this stuff. I've been reading in Nexus magazine and other stuff about, you know, genetic modification, germ warfare and things like that. And I was talking stuff. She goes, how do you know this stuff? And then I think she suddenly, she thought I might be a, what do you call it, like a honeypot, right? You know, even though I'm a male, but I was getting very friendly and asking her questions. I think that kind of made her back off a bit. I was just interested in her, and her, my goodness gracious me, she was so attractive. But anyway, I have a coffee, and that was it. But she was telling me, we were discussing stuff, and we were talking about Ebola and Black Plague and something else, and she said, oh, that's nothing. The way she was also a scientist, but you know, only just doing a university, but she worked for that same chemical lab or whatever it was. And when she, so the way she looked at me to say, that's nothing, like they have something or have got something in their stocks that they can do things with. And this was in 97, 98 that I was talking. And I thought, that's very interesting, very interesting. And there's more to the story a bit, you know, but I'll just gloss over it and move on. But she definitely was of the opinion that they've got stuff. And there's things that are, you know, they can use. And I guess, just look at what you can do to destroy someone's economy if you've got a some kind of thing that targets chickens or targets beef, and it can be used against them. And even though it might not be fatal, but the countries have to actually exterminate all their cattle, and that happened in England with the bovine thing, whatever it was called. It's happening here now with the chickens. Now, whether there is actually something that they can get, I spoke to a beekeeper, an apiarist that's got a very successful business over here, a South American lady, and she said there's definitely a mite out there, like you can see it. So, but they had to destroy all their bees that had this mite in it. And I was saying, why would you bother? I mean, you know, surely they can live. She seemed to think it was actually a danger to her, you know, whether she was, you know, just like believing in COVID or whatever. But I do believe there are things out there, particularly parasitic and what's the word for it? Mold-related things that are real spores, real things that you could actually do a lot of damage to people's crops. And certainly if you could do it with crops as well. You know, blight is a real thing. Make a super blight and destroy the crops of whatever country you want. Very easily done. You know, I know if you go to New Zealand, you're almost going to, back in the day, you'd almost have to not quite take everything off, but all your shoes had to come off and they set them away to get boiled if you said you'd been anywhere near a farm, because they were so panicky about certain things getting into the New Zealand economy, crop system. I mean, we've got sheep over there, we've got cows, milk, you name it, from being exported, timber. All these things can be affected by certain things. So it's called economic warfare, and that's the thing, I do believe, 100%. But I'm very sad to say, going on about that Michael Lunig's passed away, because that guy kept a lot of people sane with his little very thoughtful cartoon. So I highly recommend anyone in America or anyone looking up Michael Lunig, Lunig, and looking at his amazing little cartoons. Interestingly, that's what I'm going to be doing, a chat hopefully next month with Melissa from the Cutting Through the Matrix, from her own show. That's the Real History show. And I know I trust that she's a real person, because I know someone that sent her a Lunig calendar and got a letter back from her saying that it was so appropriate the day that Alan had passed away. There was a very appropriate little poem that Michael Lunig had written on the date of, was it March 2020 or 2021 when he passed? And Lunig had written this little thing, and she wrote down the exact thing and said it means so much, this little cartoon. So no fake person would be able to do that and just see the beauty and some coincidence that someone had sent a random calendar, but it actually had a very thoughtful thing on the date that Alan had passed away. So I actually thought, I trust her. I think that she's actually a real person. I've listened to a lot of her stuff. I'll get to chat to her soon. So it should be very interesting. Very interesting indeed. Mm. So I haven't been listening to... I listen to IPS's shows lately. Now, I'll bring this up. As soon as you hear the name Geronism, I would just go throw out the information. Don't even bother going into it. But he has been trying to break down this. Apparently, him and a few guys or people went to Antarctica to prove the 24-hour sun. They witnessed it. Blah 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 blah. And all of a sudden, the conspiracy theorists have jumped on, saying, "There's all these anomalies with the footage that they took while they were there. There was no footprints in the snow, blah, 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 blah." But I think this is just deliberately being done. The whole thing was a deliberate setup to cause more argument. They've recharged the whole flat earth argument again with this little operation. Now, it could all totally be fake. I would say it probably is. But basically, why bother arguing with it? Just move on and look at the next thing that's coming. And I shared last night on Fakeologist Discord and to a few other people out there. Sorry, I was doing something involving alcohol. What are they called? KnowYourRights.com. That's KNOW, KnowYourRights.com. He is a fantastic guy, and he sent his latest one on Facebook yesterday, warning about all the coming things, because as he said, the government haven't been a Christmas period. They've been getting all these new things ready, including a whole lot of very nefarious little bits and pieces to do with the privacy, to do with the digital ID, and et cetera, et cetera. These are the things you need to be looking at, not arguing about flat earth. If you're in that zone of arguing and sending, and I know so many people that have wasted the last 7 or 8 years, 2015, so it's nearly 9 years of wasting their life arguing about the shape of the earth. Who the fuck cares? Honestly, what difference is it going to make in your life if you're banana-shaped or triangular-shaped? I mean, we know the media lies, so just move on from that. What really does affect you, really affects you, is all these new mandates and closures of roads and shutdowns of farms and making things more difficult for the average business person to exist. The mass flooding of people into your country, you know, particularly from India, which are way more educated, nice people, but they're coming over to just replace you. That you're not needed anymore. You're not needed anymore. Particularly the tech, IT, and all those games in America. That's what's going to happen. You're being replaced. And I listened to a couple of shows from different people in America saying that they were looking at these really expensive modern housing developments being done. And one of them went down. They had a look at the show home. There's all this cricket, you know, cricket, not the insect, the game, the most boring game on the fucking planet, let me tell you, that's my opinion of it. There's all this cricket stuff on the show homes, and someone said, who cares about cricket? And they said, no, it's for the people coming and buying these houses are from India, and cricket is a religion to them, literally. Oh, I mean, honestly, it's the most boring, not playing it, very, you know, it's a very hard ball. It's been thrown at a very high speed. Nothing boring about being a batsman or even an outfielder, but watching it, no, not interested. So America, a country I would never, ever associate with cricket because they're smarter, I would say. But no, they've forced – you watch how many little local cricket teams. And if you want to find out, do your own research out there. Have a look, if you live in America, how many cricket teams are forming in areas like areas where the businesses are, New York, California. Check out the registrations for cricket teams. You're going to start seeing cricket big time. It's going to start taking over. They love that game like I've never seen. And it came, I guess, from when the English occupied India back in, 200 years ago. And they kind of got into it back then. And they're not just into it. I mean, like Imran Khan was almost, you're listening to Be Tall.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Thank you very much, Velocet. Rick here on the Be Told episode 15, I think, on the 11th of January 2025. And we're talking about cricket, a subject that you'll never hear me talk about. My brother thinks it's hilarious because he's obsessed with cricket and he always sends me photos of cricket books and he always threatens to send me them. He knows it's an in-joke with us. Very funny. I never played it. I played softball, baseball, and I liked it way better. The theosophy game, the game of theosophy, softball and baseball, diamonds and squaring the circle. Be told. Be told. I've already said this before. So the Indians, there's a whole thing on the visa story. There's Elon Musk or Felon Musk, put an F in front of his name, the front man for the technocratic takeover of the world, just the front man. And there he is coming and saying that these visa things are fantastic because, white men are stupid. We need more of these people from India because white men are stupid. That's what he said, paraphrased. What a great guy that guy is. Comes from South Africa, another country that had the Indians. The Indians set up camp all over the world. There's huge, big, because they're smart, they're intelligent. They are the future. Even over the Chinese. They're bigger, intelligent. They're tall, and then you've got the real elites, the Brahmin from up at the higher areas, the high castes. They consider themselves and quite openly the elites. They don't even like darkish people going near them, and we get called racist being white. I mean, it's just ludicrous, ludicrous. The Chinese and the Japanese have the same disdain to dark skin. But who do they call old white men? They always say old white people are the racist people. Not at all. Particularly in my case. I mean, the last time I had any form of relationship was with a fairly dark-skinned person from France. Beautiful and highly intelligent from, West Indian originally. Or whatever they are, one of those. But fantastic person. Really nice person. Was I worried about the colour of his skin? No. Actually, I actually thought it was a fantastic part of the her whole makeup. I don't care what colour people are. I actually find there's just amazing women everywhere. I said to this girl, I was at the gym just earlier, and there's a girl, I was looking over, there was a girl there exercising. I was thinking, it looks like the girl that used to be here, but much fitter and slimmer. And it looks identical, but it's not her. And anyway, she comes walking out. It was her. And I said, oh, my God. I said, I shouldn't say that, but I had to say, you look fantastic. And she was very happy that I said that. She goes, thank you so much. And she said she's given up bread, gave up whatever. And she honestly I mean, she wasn't bad to start with, but now she's even, my goodness gracious me. And I have to tell people that. If someone looks fantastic, tell them. If they look terrible, don't tell them. Do not tell anyone they don't look good. There are people out there that will say that, Rollo, they can't help. They'll say something to people like, oh, you've got one of your legs is missing. Oh, your leg's missing. Like, as if they didn't notice that when they were hobbling along. But so there are people out there that have to tell you something that's wrong with you. I can't do that to people. I have to say, I'll say good things. I don't say bad things. Privately, I might. Privately, but that's nothing to do with them. It's to do with me. So now, what can we talk about? We talk about fire drones. They exist. Oh, yes, they do. Well, I'll say this too. Fire is completely natural. Bushfires, completely natural. We have a large amount of our biome and not biome, the plants in this country, Australia, only germinate through fire. The grass tree is a great example. There's a lot of trees in the bush. They've got really thick seeds. They do not germinate and they without fire. Fire is part of their the health system for these trees. They burn, three layers of bark burn, and then the new bark comes and all comes back. I killed two grass trees. They call them, they used to be called black boys. And they probably still are by the average local. They're like a amazing big thick trunk with this big, like a whole amazing, like a green thin hair, I'll say. I've got hair-like leaves that come off the top of them. Now, I had two. They were worth over $1,000 each. This person I knew that had too much money and not enough sense paid, even though you can get them for free rent here. God help you if you get caught taking one, though. You'll probably get jailed. Yes, you will. Anyway, I had two of them, and guess what? I killed $2,000 worth of these trees. Guess what? Guess how I killed them? Because I didn't burn them. Because what you're meant to do is get a gas blowtorch and just go over the stump and burn it black because it kills all the little insects that live in the actual bark and it makes them come back healthier. So they need to be burnt every 4 years. This is a cycle in Australia. Every 4 years, we normally get a big fire. Now, they've been deliberately making it. It's so wet. I drove through rain last night of the biblical, almost Noah levels of rain in my beautiful van from the Winnies, Sydney. You know, very dangerous, but I did it because I know the roads. And if we didn't have that rain, we will be burning soon. And I know people that have, there's so much growth everywhere, like my garden. It's just incredible how much growth and greenery we've got here. Everything's green, but give it 4 months of high winds and no rain, we will turn into, with arson or fire drones, well-targeted fire drones, we will turn into a fireball, and it's going to be on the news in America. So this time it'll be Australia burns, hype, blah, 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 and, you know, climate change, blah, blah, blah. So we're going to get rinse and repeat over here soon, hopefully in the next couple of years. Now, I deliberately bought a house and nowhere near it. Even though I'm surrounded by trees, it's not near the bush. Anyone that lives in the bush, they're always saying to me, they are really panicking about when it does burn because it's going to go big time. And they'll use that opportunity to change, make everyone move into the city. You can't live in the country. It's too dangerous. There's floods and fires. Your insurance premiums won't get paid. You won't even be able to get a loan on a house up this way if there's more floods or bushfires. The floods already did enough damage. My goodness gracious me. Yes, they did. And I've been through it all. So it's a fact that weather is being manipulated. Weather warfare is a thing. This is weather warfare, making it rain heavily, making it drier, and then setting fire to it deliberately. And it's to get us off the land into the cities. So everything, fast forward, just move, gloss over everything else. Forget about flat Earth. Forget about aliens. Forget whatever. Just worry about your United Nations agenda. That's all you need to worry about. That's the only thing that's going to affect your life. The only thing, your fresh water, your whatever, your what. Oh, I just heard a buzzing in my left ear. Was that someone that? Where's my Jeff? How are you, man? There you go. I was kind of running out of things to say, so good to hear your. You can come in and chat. This is Be Told, episode 15, and if you're there, you can talk.
So hey, Rick, how are you doing? I'm good.
I'm good. I've just done probably half an hour of babbling away to myself. So how's your? Is you're not on fire over there? You're in good condition.
Oh yeah. I'm up in Washington State, but some of our firefighters have headed down there to the fires in LA.
Yeah, we had firefighters from here going over there, so they're getting. That's a good thing about that. That's the only thing I like about international relations is when they actually go and help somebody. And So interesting. When I was on Fakeology, apparently Canada last year? Yeah, had horrific bushfires. That was really bad. And a certain person I'm not going to name him for the sake of his own channel, but he said, I don't think they were that bad. Da, 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 da. So I was in a shopping center 5 months ago, and I saw this guy, ex special forces soldier with, he's now, he's what he got terrible PTSD and he had to leave. And he joined the fire brigade, rural fire service, as a chopper pilot as well. And he just come back from Canada. And I said to him, so what was it like? And he said it was worse than our fires here. And I'm telling you, man, our fires here were absolutely devastating. So he reckons the Canadian ones were way worse than our ones. So that just says, just because you don't live in that area and you can't see it from yourself, you can trust if the news does sometimes say things are bad. If you can find someone to talk to that actually witnessed for themselves. Oh, we've got a big moon. I've got a big moon coming up in the distance. I drove through the biblical level rain last night. We got storms and rain over here, big time.
Yeah, but
Sorry.
There's a lot of wildfires in this area too. I mean, because there's a lot of forest in the Cascades all the way down the West Coast. Yeah. Get so much rain, you know.
So, yeah, it's part of nature though. The fire is part of nature, but what these ones just judging from what I'm seeing on the media, and you can't you've got this footage of just street after street completely razed. That's razed, the burning razed. That's what happens when you got a wind behind it. Wind will take it over where you normally get fires and then set fire on that one house and the next house, the house after that, because the houses are not built out of the same materials they used to be.
Yeah.
Hardwoods. Hardwood houses, which I live in, they expand and a fire goes over them. Some of the exterior might catch fire, but just like a tree, it you can sandblast it off and it's perfect timber underneath. A timber house expands. Brick houses explode and cladding houses, forget about it. People need to really go into cladding and the new building materials that are used for a lot of modern houses. And it's aluminium with a foam behind it that's put all around the outside of your house. Extremely flammable. And I'd say that's what's happening.
Yeah. Well, and once, like my brother, he was a wildland firefighter for a year. And he said that, once a fire gets to a certain point, it will generate its own wind. So then.
Oh, it's incredible.
It can change direction on you so quickly.
And rain and storms. You see lightning above them often too as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's an incredible phenomenon. But if it's edged along or egged along, it's deliberately set up. So poor land management for 5 years, which is what we get here, and natural bushfire plus arson, because we had there was some record number of people charged over here. It was something like 15 or 16, you know, people, and half of them were rural firefighters or volunteer firefighters. They were charged with igniting fire so they could take selfies of them saving, you know, it's just ridiculous. And these things just went south, killed cattle, killed people, not people, but I think we had lost one or two people in the last one. And that was phenomenally bad. I mean, our skies were orange. The moon was and sun. The sun was the moon was red. The sun was orange for about 4 months.
Wow.
Mm. And that's what would be.
Mm. Oh, go ahead. I was just going to say, like, in the a lot of the laws that they have passed, like on how you can fight the fires, that have been effective in the past, environmental laws have outlawed them, like. The way that you can use bulldozers, especially here, is you used to be able to you could cut like a 3-blade wide bulldozer line, and that would stop a fire in its tracks.
Yep.
And now you can only cut like 1-blade wide. And
that's right.
Just,
so here,
it just jumps it.
Yeah, they call them the fire breaks. So we in New Zealand, we have, if you're a motorbike rider, you go riding the fire breaks because it's, you know, you got hills and incredible. Great motorcycle, motocross things. But here, they did the same thing. So on government land, where, well, so WWF, which is Prince Philip, they come and the kind politicians gave millions of hectares to the WWF, which is the most dodgy organization next to the WEF, next to the United Nations. Same part of the same octopus.
Like Sierra Club and all those.
Exactly. Yeah. So all of a sudden, say you had a farm and you had your farm was right next to WWF, you know, World Wildlife Fund country, and a tree had gone over. You couldn't clear it and it was dying and just turning into basically kindling because there was creatures living in it, and there might be a rare frog or a rare beetle at some, you know, lefty scientists have discovered. All of a sudden, you couldn't do that. So the farmers, they know, and they are some of the most biggest activists over here against what's been going on with the poor land management. Because we had horrific fires here pre-COVID. So we had fire, flood, then COVID. And that destroyed.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was incredible. Businesses. I mean, I went to the beach one day. This is how bad the fires were. All of ash and everything had gone out to sea and come in, and this white sands were black. And I was walking along, and there were dead parrots, bright red parrots in the you know, dead in the foyer, you know, and all this dead blackened stuff from the bushfires. So even the birds were getting killed because that's how ferocious these fires were. They were just fucking unbelievable. Man-made and arson. And there were people charged for those fires. There were also the biggest one we had at the Blue Mountains, which was caused by the Rural Fire Service turning up and setting fire, doing backburning on a day where there was a big wind coming up, despite farmers and everyone saying, don't set fire in this because there's a big fire. It might move and meet and turn into a giant one. Well, it did. There were people charged for that as well. So this is not mentioned by the climate change people, the amount of bad management, arson, and poor decisions by the fire services by lighting these backburning fires, which actually turn into a worse fire.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, and there's so much money to be made off of it, too. I mean, there's we have private engines over here, and they like nothing better than to see a fire get big so then they can work all summer. And
you know how money. Much... And get this one, I was a friend of my daughter's friend's father is a chef, and he's now a lawyer as well. He's a man who likes making money, and he had set up a giant kitchen for all the firefighters, and they've been told that you could be here for 4 months, and he was getting paid by the government. I'm talking about thousands and thousands of dollars to set up food mobile food areas to help feed all these people. So there's an industry, there's a disaster industry follows behind a disaster.
Yeah.
And a lot of people make money.
Absolutely.
Yeah, cleaners, for instance. Not me, but the people that go in to try and clean up the damage from the floods and the fires and things like that. You know, I forget that they've got a specialised name. I should be doing it personally, but I don't like capitalising on people's misery. I don't want to be that bad, but it's incredible the industry, disaster industry. So when you see on TV heaps of firefighters everywhere, someone's feeding them, someone's providing them with laundry, someone's doing this, someone's doing that. So there's a whole industry behind just a firefighter standing there fighting a fire. Did you see on the news they said all the fire hydrants were shut down? There was no water released into those areas as well.
Yeah, that they didn't fill the reservoir.
Yep, so same exact thing that happened with the Maui one. And so you've got, so there's all these people wince. You've got your conspiracy that you're listening to, be told.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Be Told, episode 15. Thank you very much. Those wonderful people who do those little bumpers out there. I like them, actually. Some people don't like bumpers. I like them. I like them. I think they're fantastic. We got Resmut, Jeff, and Rick talking on the 11th, 2025, talking about fires, bushfires, the fire industry, disaster industry. So, yeah, every disaster, there's a golden lining. And just remember, who was the guy that said, never let an opportunity go to waste? I forget who it was, but it was one of those elitists. I think it might have been Kissinger or someone like that. Like, if there's a disaster, expand upon it, and that's what's happening right now in
California. Don't let a crisis go to waste.
And so you got your climate change people are going to win out of this. The QAnon people are going to be saying that Trump's. I've already seen directed energy weapon. Aimed, and so there's pictures of the same thing. So you got a tree next to a house that's been leveled and a car that's been melted and a tree still standing. Now, in actual fact, a tree is designed to withstand high levels of fire. Houses and cars aren't, especially brick ones or cladded ones. Mm-hmm. So that kind of explains that in some ways. There's not some giant laser weapon up in space firing down on the earth. Yeah, they can use some technology. We had footage of the ones in the South Coast. There was a chopper flying above, and there was this bright purple light coming out of it. And they said, oh, no, it's not a directed energy weapon. They said, no, it's a laser that's measuring the heat of the fire below. And I was like, I've never seen that before. So, there could be a there with that. Sure, but that was a mainstream story back in the day.
Directed. Well, they probably use drones.
Well, that's what I said. Now, fire drones, 100%. Yeah. And that's they are used for backburning. There's no doubt whatsoever in my mind. Susie, you can speak if you're out there. And one of my
keep going.
That's good. Oh, no, thank you for sending me those links to the funny things that were said on many shows past. So it's always appreciated. Fire drones, very simple technology. It's just all it is a drone with some liquid sprayable ignitable stuff. And that can fire drones do is they take the risk away from those really brave firefighters. They're specialised firefighters that actually get choppered into and parachute into behind the fire areas, and they go around.
We call them smoke jumpers.
Smoke jumpers, yeah. They're a thing here as well. Yeah, they're here. I actually, my kind of once-removed brother-in-law, he doesn't jump. They don't jump, but they go right into the worst of the areas. And what they do, because basically these fires go underground, and so the tree root, because a tree, as above, so below. A tree looks exactly the same above, below, with its root system. And those, so the roots burning underneath, it travels through the peat and other stuff, and that fire may be out, but it's actually burning underneath, and it can actually pop up and start igniting fires, which happen here. That's why I say we have four-month fires here at times that go for 4 months. Yeah. So just don't stop.
Hey, did you – there was a thing in Canada. They have, like, some weird root system underneath the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And there were fires – that they're like it was smoldering underneath or something.
Yeah, sorry. Well, this is 100% exactly.
Like a peat moss or peat.
Yeah. So we had this fire, and you could look it up. I think it was Port Macquarie fire peat would be part of it. So it was this old biome that had been there for just leaf after leaves after leaves and trees breaking down and compacting. And so the fire was going down and under and moving along and then turning up kilometres away and setting fire to things. So just because you put it out on the top doesn't mean it's out underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And so where I live, literally on my drive home, from my house to, say, for two hours, every tree was black. There's a lot of them have never come back. This is how bad this fire went. It was just so it was like driving through the moonscape.
Once you go black, you never come back. Sorry,
you're very funny. There's a good sense of humor there. Cool.
Good sense of humor.
Yeah. These things went black and they never came back. Yeah.
It's not funny.
It's not funny if you're a tree. It is funny if it's the double and tronda, which is very funny. absolutely, 100%. Now, I was going to say, Bellisette's wanting to do a show tonight on here on thetruthmeets.com and keep it going later after the, because I'll wind it up soon and we can keep talking, but we'll probably end in the next probably 20 minutes or so and then just stay on because he's going to come on later on with whoever else wants to come on and do a long show on truthmeets.com. So everyone's welcome out there if they're listening, truthmeets.com, Saturday the 11th. Or in America, I think it would be the 10th. Would it be the 10th? Susie, are you in the 10th?
No, we're the 11th.
We're on the 11th. It's Wayne's birthday. What do you think about this birthday? 1-11-77. Is that something cool?
Is that your
That's
partner?
Wayne's
Is that your
birthday.
Partner? Is it
yeah.
your partner? Well, happy birthday, Wayne. Do you know
1-11-77?
Did you know the thing about cool. have you heard the thing about Wayne's, the name Wayne?
No, give it to me.
Because I've got a number of Wayne friends and they're all out there. Oh, they usually have said Wayne's like there's a lot of substance abuse amongst Wayne's. I have to say that there's a lot of they just tend to be great people, but wild is the word I would probably use. Rollo should have been named Wayne. I don't know why.
No, Wayne is very subdued, and his wife is a substance abuser. I'm a beaver.
A beaver.
Yeah.
She's a substance of beaver. That's a word.
Yeah.
That's a word.
He's a super calm dude.
Wayne's the easygoing one and you're the one. Well, obviously by the kind of things you're listening to on the radio.
Yeah,
batshit crazy.
I'm crazy in a mellow way. Like I'm just like, you know, I do what I want. But I don't feel like not crazy, like, woo, I'm crazy. I just, do whatever the hell I want.
Why not?
So, you know, I haven't been paying attention to the California fires. Is that what you guys were talking about? I just chimed in.
It's basically Hollywood's burning, from what I can see. And the song I've chosen a song to end this tonight, and it'll be Left Field Leiden, Burn Hollywood Burn. Because I think it's going to feed in with this whole QAnon thing. It's like, this is done, you know, they're getting rid of the swamp. That's what they're saying. I'm telling you now, guaranteed, these QAnon sites are saying burning the swamp The swamp's being burnt.
That's the thing. How do we sleep while our beds are burning, right?
Yeah, that's well. That's a Midnight Oil song. There you go. I could have thought. I didn't even think of that, but I don't. Not a bad song. Not a bad song. I don't like.
I mean, it's not the best, but isn't that Australian? Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, no. But they are they're a bunch of.
The guy dances terribly.
Oh yeah,
but it's good. It's a good song.
Well, he became a politician for Labor, and he's a lawyer as well. And that's two things: lawyer, politician. Fuck him off. That's what I say straight away. Mm. So, but Peter Garrett ended up. So they pushed the whole. They're very much behind the whole DRIPS, UN DRIPS thing, you know, like give the land back, you know, even though he's got all his property tied up probably in trust so that he won't give his land back, but it will be giving our land back and paying royalties to live on our land and doing welcome to country ceremonies every 15 minutes, which is what you have to do over here. If you have anything, you have to have a welcome to country thing, allegedly. Hmm. You know, fuck Peter Garrett, but great song, great band.
I don't know shit about Peter Garrett. I wouldn't know his name if you were going to give me a million dollars.
The big bald guy that dances badly. Yeah, yeah. He's a total what you call a Chardonnay socialist or a Fabian red expensive red wine drinker, but. he'll be keeping his money safe, but not handing anything to anyone else. Anyway, no, yeah. So speaking of the fires, yeah. So I say you've got four different. You've got the Santa Ana winds, which is the devil's winds. That's what that's referred to as pushing a naturally occurring or possibly set up fire into areas which are made of air. Thanks to the building, United Nations. That allowed, did you know all your building requirements for your house all have a UN stamp on them? So they've been the ones that have been approving these cladding and stuff on these mansions that people have built all around these Hollywood areas in California. So you can trace everything back to the United Nations 100%. They are your enemy. They are your enemy. Not the flat earth, not the Antarctica story, not the. UFOs and aliens, just concentrate on the real facts that's really going on with affecting your life, the United Nations Agenda 2030. And I think it's on target, big time, right on target. 2025's,
So I'm kind of in like a weird time warp thing because I listen to current shit and I'm also in the past.
It's so
I can't figure out, I can't discern, like, you know.
Oh, you're listening to me when I had three pussies. You're listening to me when I had three pussies back in the old days. Yeah, not anymore. I've got one. And that's why I have to announce this too. Since I last spoke on the Be Told show, I had two beautiful fish, great big goldfish, swimming around peacefully in my front. Before you go into my front of my house, I've got a fish pond. I've now got no fish and one cat.
Yeah.
That's all I'm very sad.
I know how it is. Like, you know, I have, you know, do you guys have chipmunks in Australia?
Not yet, but we can probably get, I love chipmunks.
I'll smuggle some chipmunks in.
Can you? Yeah, I saw them in England. I've never seen them. I've never been to America, but I saw them in England. They're squirrels or chipmunks. Yeah.
No, well, there's squirrels and there's chipmunks. And
what's
chipmunks.
The difference?
Chipmunks chipmunks are really fast hamsters, basically, and they stuff their cheeks with nuts, and then they look so dumb when they look at you because their cheeks are so big.
I love that.
That they just look
Chip and Dale.
But when they stuff their, but they're the most little skittish creatures in the world. And I have spent so much time just sitting on the ground outside that I hand feed the chipmunks.
Oh, right? I like that. Yeah, it's nice.
You can't, no one can get near a chipmunk, but I feed them.
Susie, yes. The chipmunk whisperer. Susie, the chipmunk whisperer.
Thank you. So today there was a squirrel underneath my bird feeder who was dying.
Oh.
And I wrapped him up in a towel and I brought him in the house. And I have this like little like cage thing and for like, you know, rabbits or cats or something. And I wrapped him up and I put him in there and because he was covered in snow and it was just really sad. And I let him die warm. He died warm today in my house.
Oh,
but
dear,
you know,
he just brought the whole night down.
No, it's not. It was a good thing.
No, that's good.
Like,
I'm like you. Occasionally, like, I love killing annoying things, but occasionally, I think I saved a clicker beetle from the toilet this morning. That's one life I saved. One of those clicking beetles that fly in there. And
yeah, beetles and spiders. I mean, I try. I do my best, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I do this thing. I've got this thing called leave them alone, they leave me alone. But I will help, you know, apart from the funnel web spider, I saw one of them with its legs up in the air. I won't give it mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, I'll just tell you right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've got them all in my backyard, be told. But I haven't got squirrels or chipmunks, but I've seen them in England, and I've never seen anything that moved so fast. I guess they were squirrels. But I don't think we have chipmunks.
There were probably squirrels. Chipmunks are probably prevalent. Yeah, they're a little more woodsy.
Or Alvin. Alvin and the chipmunks.
Yeah.
Alvin.
So, I mean, it's 3 o'clock in the damn morning. You haven't been on here forever, right?
No, I've been to work. It's not 7 o'clock at night to me. I've been shopping, been to the gym, and I've been trying to rearrange my cluttered sunroom with all the things I've got everywhere. I've got this, could be a museum piece of weird things, of all these old things everywhere. Sort them out. But, you know, this is my time. I can talk and chat with no problem whatsoever. I've got all these people that want to talk to me, and they go, oh, best time is my morning. It's usually in the morning I do not feel like talking, but you obviously can do it. What time have you got, ResMate, Jeff? Where are you? Are you three in the morning?
No, I haven't slept yet.
No, it's
3 in the morning. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm over here on the West. I'm on the Pacific time, so it's only midnight.
You're like
here.
Midnight.
Midnight. My brother just went home, so I saw that you were on, and there was no Rollo, so I was just like, shit.
I'll give you the good news, because I've been at Rollo's house, but I don't see Rollo. He's not at his own house. I've been there ripping up. I can tell you now, if you want a tough job, I've done lots of tough jobs, but pulling out carpet staples out of hardwood floors on your knees when you haven't got good knees is tough. And
you got to hire like 10 or 12 year olds who are good at being on the ground.
No, they've hired me to do that. So unfortunately, I need the money and I'm quite happy to do it. But
you got to find a kid. I've done that before. Like, I've like pointed out, like, hey, you're 10 or 12. I'm going to hire you for like $5 an hour to do that job.
I've hired little kids. You should be part of the elites then. You should be in the World Economic Forum.
I am. Yes,
yeah,
it's true.
I'm not one of those. H1B. Bring in some Indians to do it. No, I was at Rollo's, but I don't see him nor I want to, because if I don't see him, he doesn't live there anymore. He's at Christie's place till we sell a house. Sorry, they sell a house. No, it's getting there though. It's looking fantastic. But I've had to be ripping up carpet staples and on my hands and knees and, you know, blah 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 blah. But anyway, he got the news that he doesn't need to go to his probation thing anymore. So he's really happy, but he's not happy enough to be wanting to chat tonight. He said he doesn't feel well. So, and I need to do a Be Told show, because I discovered Millicent informed me that was the most popular show in the last show I did in December was extremely popular. So I thought, well, I should be doing more of these. So here I am. So was my voice coming out clearly? Just checking.
You sound like you're in my bathroom with me. Yeah. I'm hiding in the bathroom.
I'm just letting you know I'm not in there, and for any legal legal purposes, any divorce courts afterwards. But
so if I could, another I'll, funny if I could, thing.
Go talk.
You this isn't really conspiracy theorist
stuff,
but maybe it is. So you said Chinese furniture, they painted it black.
Yes. Yeah.
They imported it. And it just kind of struck a nerve with me because my mom used to love refinishing old chairs and tables and things.
Yep.
And she would make things look like brand new and maple wood and all this stuff. And when you said they in the 40s and 50s that they, and then maybe that's where the Rolling Stones got their painted black songs.
Did you hear me suggest that? Because I actually suggested.
Yes.
That.
And when you said that, I was like, "Whoa, is that like a real thing?"
Well, because
like, I don't know.
Well, I was.
It just made me think of my mom and the song. Yeah.
About you're talking about a show from about at least 4 years ago, 5 years ago. I was in a way before that. I was in a you're listening to
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
You're listening to Rick on the Be Told episode 15. On the last part of it, before he leaves and plays some music, talking to Susie and Resmut Jeff from America. And Susie's just brought up, this is on the 11th of January 2024, just brought up about the black furniture thing. And now I was told this by there was up the top of the road where I live in the Whitties in Sydney. There was a huge, big Chinese furniture import place. And I was in there and she was telling me, I said, where did they get this stuff from? She said they were bringing it over in containers from China. This is 20 years ago, at least 20 years ago. And there were these beautiful hand-painted Chinese specialized in furniture back in the day. And apparently when the revolution happened, Chairman Mao, who went to Yale, which is Yale University, the whole Chinese revolution, which is completely run by the Americans.
You mean Yale.
The Chinese revolution, which was completely run and funded, founded and done by the Americans, particularly Rockefeller, and as a military, there was the Flying Tigers that were helping, you know, and what's his name, all of those American OSS people that were over there helping China become communist. The Americans did that. Thank you, America. Anyway, so apparently you were forbidden. So when they had their Cultural Revolution.
I'm British.
No. You can say that you're a Native American, so you're fine. It's the other ones.
Oh, no, it's fine. So. I'm an American, too. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. Well, you weren't the military.
FDR was a communist, so it's okay.
Anyway, so they had to paint, because it was bright and cheerful and beautiful pinks and greens and everything and these beautiful...
Green, yeah.
It was deemed as to be, oh, no, it's too bourgeois, you know. And the same thing probably happened in Russia too with the Bolshevik Revolution. Well, anyway, so they had to paint all their furniture black so it became standardized. Now, this person that told me this was Chinese. She was bringing it over. They were stripping the paint off, and underneath the paint was this beautiful, incredible designs. They were selling it quite cheap, I thought, but it was beautiful furniture. When I tried to look into after I spoke about it on that show, Susie, that you listened to from a few years ago, I have a real problem to try and find anyone to actually online that admits that's what was part of it. So I remember thinking that the Rolling Stones song, Paint It Black, was part of that communist revolution mantra. And I said that on so many shows. So interesting you should bring that up. Interesting
you should bring that up. Speaking of communists, did you see that
Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to, since we're on the topic, the, it was Jimmy Carter's funeral.
They
sung Imagine. Fucking the communist.
Did they?
Did they really?
The Communist Manifesto. Can you imagine if someone said to me, Prince? What song would you play in for Jimmy church. Carter's thing? I would have said Jimmy Carter's, I would have said something about Peanuts. I would have had Charlie Brown's musical.
Do you remember how those kids danced so funny on Charlie Brown? I love their dances.
Susie, I can remember in 1972 or 3 being taken by my well-meaning parents. Saying, oh, kids, there's a Peanuts movie on. Go and see that. It was the most boring. It was Snoopy something or other, and it was the most boring movie I've ever watched in my entire life.
I didn't even know that the Peanuts had an actual movie. I thought it was just a half-hour Christmas and Halloween and Thanksgiving.
Yeah. You know, this was the worst movie I've ever seen in my life, and I'm still scarred. I remember sitting there just going, what am I watching? It was Snoopy, and it was all surreal. He was skating. It was animated, skating around on an ice skate, and it was boring. It was unfunny. It was Charles Schulz was an adult writing for kids. It never works, as far as a lot of the time. For adults.
I think they were just all high on drugs, too. It was the 70s, so like it was probably more interesting to them.
It was surreal. Oh, yeah, that was definitely it was definitely one of those things you go to see tripping, because it was like animation-wise, yeah, it was out there, but it was boring. But that was a part of – so Peanuts was – I never actually delved into the actual what's behind Peanuts, but, it had a lot of American culture in it. You know, you had the Great Pumpkin was always a thing. I used to like – I like Woodstock, the bird. I thought he was funny And he used to speak in bird footprints, in his the way he spoke in the cartoon bubble. I've never looked at Peanuts as being nefarious. I don't think it was, but my God, that I can tell you now. If you want to find a boring movie, look up Snoopy. So it's 1972. Charlie Brown, something around in Snoopy. The worst fucking movie I've ever seen in my life. For a child to go and be inflicted upon.
I don't even think that's a movie. I think that's a weird memory you have. No, there's no movie.
Listen, when I say something, I'm usually 110% correct. Be told, 100%. I'm telling you, I went to see it and it was boring. And it's on YouTube somewhere. I'm going to find it. I'm going to send it to you. And you're going to watch it and you're going to go, yep. If I was 7 years of age, whatever I was. I'll say 8, just in case Dave's listening. I'm 8 years of age, and I watched this movie. It was fucking it was boring. There was nothing. You got nothing out of it. My favorite movies back in those days were war movies, Western movies, or Pink Panther cartoons. No, and that was it.
Pink Panther is a curious one. It was a little bit more like older than me. But I knew someone who liked them, and I was like, I couldn't get it. It wasn't the original animation.
Which came from. There was the movie. The actual movie was about a diamond thief from the 60s.
Mm-hmm. I think I remember the movie more than the cartoon.
And then Peter Sellers came over and took over as Inspector Clouseau. So Mirisch. Or I forget that it was something to do with the guy that did Bugs Bunny as well, Chuck Jones. They ended up doing a cartoon and it was silent. But I watched them at Christmas time 2 weeks ago and I laughed my head off because they are so nasty. Like, it's basically Pink Panther's going around. There's a little old lady and he's trying to help her and he basically gets her killed in every 5 seconds from different things.
A silent cartoon? Is that what you're saying?
No, not silent, but there's no talking in it. They were just cartoons with they were like a Charlie Chaplin type thing. You know, it was
okay. Yeah.
Very clever but it was very dark. If you watch those original Pink Panther cartoons, the humor is incredibly dark. But when you went to the movies in the 70s, you always got a cartoon before the main feature started. And the whole screen turns purple and the stars come out. And I just was just mesmerized by that whole thing and laughed my head off, chuckled away big time, big time. Now, what I'm going to do is stay on. I'm going to end the show, but then we'll just stay on here and Velocette will clip it and do his stuff. Then we can just keep chatting.
May I please say something really quick?
Oh, go. You can keep talking after all.
Resma, Jeff. Hello.
Yeah. What's up?
So, man, I'm listening to, I'm in like July of 2021 and you're there.
He was there, yeah.
You're there. Oh, and I'm.
He's the horse. The horse whisperer. He's the horse whisperer and you're the chipmunk whisperer. So you both got something in common.
I'm just saying hello because I like the people that last because, you know, it's enduring. It's endearing. It's all those nice words.
Enduring and endearing.
Yeah. Enduring and endearing. Yeah.
Now I'm just going to, on this, it's now 7:30 because Rick B. Told shows go for about an hour. It's gone probably 2 hours, so I wind it up. I don't like keeping. There's nothing worse than seeing something like 15-hour fucking shows. Like, come on, an hour and a half, no problem whatsoever. So on this January 11th, 2025, I'm going to leave the show and I send it to Velocette to add.
Good morning. Good evening.
Good morning. And it's wonderful to hear. So, but don't go. I'm just going to wind this up metaphorically or orally. This is the end of the B-Told Show.
Yes. Don't be rude.
Don't be rude. You're listening to Susie. You're listening to Resmat Jeff. You're listening to Rick on the B-Told F15. And we're going to wind it up with an appropriate song for Hollywood. It's John Lydon saying some real big truths about Hollywood, real big truths about Hollywood on this song mixed by Left Field, great English electro band, techno, whatever, electro, whatever. Left Field, Lydon, Open Up will be the end track. So we'll wind it up right now. So a B Told, thank you very much, Velocette. I'll press hang up and I'll come back in again. And on this wonderful night on the January the 11th, this is B Told number 15, Left Field, Lydon, Open Up. All dedicated to the arsonists in Hollywood, be told.
Oh.